Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesdays at 6, midweek Bible study. We would love to see you for one of our services. Here this upcoming Sunday, we're going to be looking at the Lord Jesus' return. Finally, we're going to be up to chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. We've been going through verse by verse. We've seen enough judgment to last a lifetime. Now we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ return. And speaking of judgment, we're really not done. Because when he returns, we read in 2 Thessalonians, he's coming back in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel. That's where we're going to be at this Sunday. We'd love to see you Sunday morning. Here's part two now of this sermon. This is the seven bowl judgments we're looking at, Revelation chapter 16. Luke 21:36. Pray you be counted worthy to escape all of these things. There's only one way to be counted worthy, and that is when God looks at you to see him. He's going to look right through you. What's he going to see? We also see, again, people will not repent for their sins, even at this late time. And I'll say it again. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's one of the greatest revelations God's given me. They don't repent because they can't. It's too late for repentance. There's coming a time when your conscience is going to be seared with a hot iron, the Bible says, and you... And if you don't believe me, turn the television on and see what it looks like. When you are no longer going to feel convicted in your spirit and you're no longer going to repent. The Bible says this is going to happen. You read it at the end of chapter 9, and here it is once again. People, do not repent and give glory to God. When you worship the creation instead of the creator, it's the highest form of idolatry. Probably was the most popular show in America back in the day. American Idol. Everything on this beautiful planet is here for your enjoyment. But as far as worship goes, like the angel's about to say to John coming up next week, who's writing all this down, he says, worship God. Worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God. Okay, now let's move on. He won't do you wrong in heaven. He won't do you wrong on earth. There'll be no traffic lights in heaven. No sickness. No needles. Now, Pastor Darren told me this week on Wednesday that there'll be no more shopping carts in heaven for him to have to push around. And from what I've heard through my moles and spies, no broccoli either. Sorry to disappoint so many of you, vile weed lovers out here in the audience. Eyes not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those who love him. This is not your destiny, church. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your destiny is eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. Everything I've read to you is not your destiny. He's done all the work. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. It's as simple as that. Yeah, this is gruesome. I'm sorry. We're going through this. The gangrene and loathsome sores, scorching people with fire. Absolutely, that's gruesome. You know, there was a sermon way back when, around 250 years ago. The guy's name was Jonathan Edwards. And the sermon was entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now that sermon transformed the entire United States. This whole country is Christian because it ain't. Because some people come to Christ because they fear God. And they fear this kind of stuff happening to them. It's all right to receive Christ because you fear God and you fear this judgment that's going to come upon the whole world. He'll meet you where you're at. He's not calling you to understand it. He's calling you to call out and reach out to his life preserver. It's his son. Not to understand it all. Not to understand it all. Number 5, darkness and pain. Verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. If we've learned anything in here, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol, and you'll understand the book. The beast is who? Antichrist. Okay? So the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the Antichrist. See, I told you this old turkey's going down. Payback's coming to him. End judgment's coming to him. Stick with God. That's the winning side. Regardless of what you see, stick with God. Call on the name of the Lord. Don't base on what you believe and understand on what you see. Believe God at his word. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we need to know. So the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the Antichrist, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed God. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And now here we go again, verse 11. They did not repent of their deeds. Now when this fifth bowl is poured out, the Antichrist kingdom was plunged into darkness. This was not like the partial darkness that occurred at the fourth trumpet. This is total and complete darkness. That was partial darkness. This again is like the plague upon Egypt. Exodus, I think I have the scripture up there. Exodus 10:23, which was described as so dark during that time that people scarcely moved because they could not see. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. This also is the last time it said that people did not repent. Let's consider it again. There comes a time in a person's life when God will no longer convict that person of the evil stuff that they do. And once this happens, you become like one of these people that we're reading about here. Look around today. They're easy to spot out here in the community or on the television. People whose consciences have been, what the Bible calls, seared with a hot iron. Now remember, repentance is a gift from God. The ability to understand in your spirit that you've sinned against the holy God is a gift from God. Look around, there's 4 billion people that don't have that out here. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All right, so this is why people do not repent, either then or now, because repentance is a gift from God. You don't have that in you by your own without Him. It's a gift from God. Here's another verse I want to read to you too as well. This is Ephesians 4:17. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 4:17. It says, "This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over." There's just another look at the condition of the people at this time in the world. People don't repent because they can't. You can repent because you can. It's not too late. Okay, number six. All right, so number five was on the Antichrist's throne. Number six, the Euphrates River dried up. The Euphrates River dried up, verse 12. And of course, that's the other side of this coin. Where is it poured? On the river itself. Verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the ways of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now that would be China, North Korea, Japan. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the ways of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Now catch the word three. Notice, this is to be taken literal, as these three persons are to be taken literal. The Antichrist is a person. The false prophet is a person. The dragon is a person or an individual. Three. It's not a kingdom. It's a person. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Three. Coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Understand the symbol. You understand the book. The dragon is who? The beast is who? The false prophet, you don't need to interpret that. He tells you who it is. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. False prophet. They are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps. That is, you got a crick in your neck from looking up, remember? Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Watches. Blessed is he, is a Esposito proverb. Blessed is he or she that has a crick in their neck from looking up. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. Better watch out. The thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's out for your britches. Watch out over them, he's saying. Guard them. Guard them with your 44 Magnum. No, these are spiritual britches. All the guns in the world ain't going to help you here. The Lord said, don't let anyone steal your crown. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to that place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, so that means Mountain of Megiddo. Har, H-A-R, means mountain. All right, so let's look at this. First, the dried up river. Literal or figurative? Probably. I don't know. But what transpires is obvious. Then there's no reason not to take this literal. All that's important is that God is the one behind the scenes, orchestrating all this. God is the one. Everything is happening because God is the one orchestrating it. And it's the angels who did something in the spiritual realm that enabled the battle of Armageddon. It was evil angels who kickstarted this last great battle. Also here in verse 13 is why Pastor Paul doesn't care for frogs very much. These demons look like frogs. So think twice the next time you see a frog perched outside your kitchen window. Ribbit. Staring at you. I'll tell you what. Shut them blinds. Don't trust frogs anymore when you see them. Hey, now that I know, you see, my eyes are open. That the guy who wrote this said, these demons to him look like frogs. I'll tell you what, that's all this old Italian needs to know. Shut your blinds. Daniel called them watchers too, didn't he? Watchers. Why should that surprise us? You see, you guys are on Satan's bulletin board list. Public enemies. Notice, too, the unholy trinity. How all these three, again, are individuals. Dragon, beast, false prophets. Three unclean spirits coming out of three individuals. So these demons are going to be sent forth, north, south, east, and west, to influence the world leaders to engage in war. Kind of just like what we see out here today. I don't see how it's any different. No one understands. Sometimes it's these demons that are going out whispering in people. I don't have time to read it, but I encourage you, read Ezekiel chapter 38. Read when God gave this prophecy to the king of the north. That would probably be Vladimir Putin. He says, the time is going to come where you're going to hear all this stuff whispered in your ear, and then you're going to get a proud and arrogant heart and say, I will. Demons are the ones that caused this. All right, verse 15. All right, so that's number 6, Euphrates dried up, and the bowl judgment on the Euphrates River. Verse 15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. All right, what do thieves steal, church? Valuables. They don't steal what's worthless. Thief comes in to steal what's the most valuable. That's what he's coming back for. Blessed is he who watches and keeps, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. It was the utmost shame back in that day to not have any clothes on. Blessed is the one who watches and keeps, watches by always looking up, like the Son of God's instructed us, and keeps his garments. Remember, the thief does not come, but to steal and kill and destroy. Don't let the devil steal your clothes. All right, last one, number 7. The earth utterly shaken. And this one is poured out, it says, into the air. Verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air.
And a loud voice came out of the temple in heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there was lightnings and thunders and noises, and there was a great earthquake, such as had not occurred since men were on the earth. So great an earthquake, so great, exclamation point. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine, the cup of the wine of the rage of his wrath. Then every island fled, and the mountains were not found. And great hail fell from heaven upon men, each hailstone weighing a talent. Now, Scott asked me earlier, pray tell, how much does a talent weigh? A talent, depending on who's measuring it, is either 75 pounds or 90 pounds. They used to say back in the day, if you went up to the 86th floor of the Empire State Building and got out there, and if you dropped a penny down on there, that would go right through someone's skull, right through their head and come out there. But can you imagine a 75-pound chunk of hail? Maybe you say, that's horrible. And your point is, that's not what God wants for you. God wants salvation and eternal life for you. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord to be saved. He's done all the work. He's done all the work. Verse 21, again, great hail fell from heaven upon men, each hailstone weighing a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the hail, since this plague was exceedingly severe. You see, there's just no hope for you at this point. No repentance. You just blaspheme God as if you hit your thumb with a hammer. Did you know that God has all this hail stored up in a safe place? You know, if you got up there to heaven, you walk past one door that says broom closet. You go past another door and it says written on there, hail. Listen to this verse, Job chapter 38, verse 22. Listen to what God says to Job. He says, "Have you seen the treasuries of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war?" All this time. Now, the book of Job, by the way, is the oldest book in the Bible. It's older than the book of Genesis. It's the first book ever written. It's the oldest piece of literature in the history of mankind. And it's the oldest book in the Bible. Now, God says back then, before Abraham's time, that this hail is already stored up there. It's just waiting for the day. It's waiting for the day for this command. It's waiting for the day that the mercy and the grace of God has come to an end, when you can no longer call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I guess because you wouldn't feel a need to, because you're not convicted of sin anymore. You see, no need for a Savior, no need for repentance. I leave you with the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, next week, we'll go to chapter 19. We've seen enough judgment. I think we all get it, right? So we're going to go and start chapter 19 next week, and we're going to see the Lord's return finally. And I think we all can understand that terrible judgment is coming to everyone who refuses the Son of God. This is designed to intimidate you. It's designed to scare you, to terrify you. These are going to be terrible, dreadful times. And God does not want you to be a part of it either. That's why the Lord Jesus says in Luke 21:36, he says, "Watch therefore and pray once in a while that you may pray always Not just today, but pray next week too. Pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And I think of this verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, where he says, because you have kept my command to persevere, that is to stand tough during difficult times, because you've continued to walk with God when through hard times, through sickness and trials and struggles in your life, because you have kept my command to hang in there, and you are still calling on the name of God, you're still walking with him, because you have done that, he says, I will keep you from, it's the Greek word ek, that means out of, because you have not given up your faith and you're continuing to walk with him. Because you have done that, he said, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, for all of you who have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can write a big N-A next to everything here that we've looked at. Because he's not talking to you. He's talking to someone else. He's talking to people that who refuse the love of God. Let me read to you. I heard Billy Graham say this the other day when I was watching a sermon at home, and I wanted to repeat it. Out of Joshua chapter 24, he says, he's given the people there an ultimatum for who you're going to serve. You got a choice. You have to serve someone here in this world. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or we could say there, the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the Indian River, cross over that bridge. There's a whole world of gods out there that you can serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Or the gods of the Amorites on the other side of the river in whose land you dwell. But then he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't answer for you. I can only answer for that woman and myself. And we choose him. And I encourage you to do likewise. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.